No, it doesn't matter. You're just gonna get it all again anyway.
You son of a titless bitch.
What is our max health now?
I don't know. We'll find out. This should be
54. 54. Yeah, we're a beast.
We're good. We could always use more, though.
I could... Hey. Capitalism, baby.
I could always use 1,600 flawless diamonds.
Hey, if I'm not getting more all the time, I'm failing. Is what I'm saying.
Entropy doesn't exist. It's not a rule of the universe.
Dude, fucking capitalism's so stupid.
It's the dumbest.
It's a disease.
It's cancer.
It's a disease spreads. That we have to finally, like, excise from ourselves.
You gotta get
point.
It out of your brain. Yeah. That's why. People just have to start living not that way.
We just went so real. We were just, like, talking
about... I know!
Hamburgers and hot dogs.
Well, I said it was freedom food, so now I'm gonna exercise my freedom food right. My First Amendment freedom food right.
To say that capitalism's stupid.
Capitalism is not the best thing there is.
Hey, get to a point where you can feed yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And take care of your family and your loved ones. And then you don't need any more money. Yeah. You don't need any more.
That's it.
You're done.
If you're happy, that's it, right?
Yeah. Don't try and earn so much money that... Every kid that your kids and their kids and their kids and their kids have can live forever and not work.
Right.
How about just make them earn a little bit of money?
But you also have to give people, like, things that they need. Like, you have to guarantee them, like, that they have that. No, no, not that they're... But that their lives are going to be able to be sustained. Like, I think the problem now is, like, you get a job and they just fucking fire you and they're like, well, that's the way it is.
Right.
Because
I
need to make two more cents.
Well, that's what
know?
I'm saying. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Inherently, is that it's the bottom line.
We're
it's like, if everybody were just happy with like having enough to sustain,
right.
Then we wouldn't, I don't know, if it would work. Maybe we'd get lazy and everything would fall apart. I have no fucking clue.
Maybe.
But I'm just
saying. Well, it's falling apart anyway, so why not be lazy?
That's the way to look at
it. It's just going to burn down no matter what. Fuck it. Who gives a shit?
Oh, that's great.
Hey, doggy. Not gonna bark at me today? Goodbye. Bye, dog. Wow, dog didn't bark at me today. Crazy. All right, welcome to Ham Radio. Setting my little settings. So this is gonna be a pretty quick little show, just a few songs that I've been thinking about lately that kind of follow a theme that's been in my head. So, I've been listening to a shitload of Guns N' Roses because I was at a used bookstore and I found this book about the history of Guns N' Roses. And I was like interested right away. The very first little chapter is about the first time Axl Rose and Izzy Stradlin, when they were, you know, in their late teens, the first time they went to New York City together, because they knew each other way before Guns N' Roses started. They both came from the same shitty little Indiana crap town. It's interesting, too, to read about Axl Rose when he was younger. Like, he was crazy. Like, literal psychotic breaks. Like, he was a nut. It's funny, because, like, in the later days of the band, it was the other members of the band that had all the crazy drug problems, by most accounts. Axl kind of didn't do drugs often and pretty much stopped at some point. But everybody else was just totally fucked up. Steven Adler, they had to kick out because of heroin. Slash would get so crazy drunk that he was famous for pissing the bed all the time. And I think Slash had one of those, just like the dude from Motley Crue, like literally was like medically dead at one point, crazy stories. They had to do the adrenaline shot and everything. But Axl Rose was the craziest of them all just because of how he is, just of his fucking brain. He's just fucking crazy. Which eventually led to no one being able to work with him and the band splitting ways and whatever. But I didn't really want to do a full show about Guns N' Roses because I don't know how much there is to say. Like, there's only really three albums. Appetite for Destruction, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, and the rest is all just little side stuff. So, I mean, what is there to say? You know, it's fucking awesome. Guns N' Roses is awesome. Just go listen to those albums, you know? Yeah, I loved Guns N' Roses as a young, and I really think, like, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 were the first, like, post-Weird Al albums that I got into. Like, I really liked Weird Al. But then as far as like real music, quote unquote, no offense, Weird Al, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 were the thing, and they were fucking amazing. They were so good. But even within those albums, you could feel like a split. Okay, Bird. Get it, you're a bird. Where, you know, there was the kind of ground-pounding, just hard rocking song still, but then it was getting into this, like, operatic, soaring, big songs that were clearly what Axl Rose liked. He just kind of wanted to be Elton John. And, you know, like, November Rain is still the biggest Guns N' Roses song ever. It has, like, 500 million views on YouTube, even now. So I can see why Axl Rose wanted to move Guns N' Roses in that direction and why he kind of felt like he had the authority to do it. He's like, look at this shit. Look at November Rain. That shit was their biggest song ever. That was all me. So that was, you know, the fucking strings and the choruses and the choir. That's all me. That crazy shit. That's the stuff. So he went off and did his own thing. And like that, when he finally put out Chinese Democracy, it feels like any of the like rockin' songs on that are just kind of begrudging of like, well, yeah, this is what Guns N' Roses really is supposed to be. So I'll put some of those in, but mostly it's a lot of piano ballads. But where the band, the other side of Guns N' Roses, they split off and did this band called Velvet Revolver that I never listened to much at the time. I don't know why. 2004 that it came out. I guess I was just, I don't know, maybe I was finding guitar rock a little boring. I listened to it a little bit and it did just kind of seem like watered down Guns N' Roses. But now, all these years later, now that I'm back on this Guns N' Roses kick, I'm like, well, let me go check that out. And of course the singer was Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots, who just recently passed away of a drug overdose. But it's like fucking great, man. Those two albums are real good. I like them a lot. And the first one in particular, it really is like the opposite of Axl Rose's big soaring ballads. Every song almost is pretty much just like a ground pounding. Here's a song that's catchy, but it's not too complicated. It's not doing anything too crazy. Pretty much just a straightforward, catchy fucking song. Just boom, boom, boom. Here's the song. But yeah, it's good. It's definitely better than, you know, what the weird stuff Axl Rose ended up going off to do. And better than the latter-day Stone Temple Pilots stuff, too. So I don't know why I never listened to it before very much, but I like it. I like it a lot. I've been listening to it a lot lately. And the song I'm going to play, it's not necessarily my favorite song of theirs. Do It For The Kids is probably my favorite song. That song's real good. But I'm going to play a song called Big Machine. Because it's also real good, and it's real straightforward. Like, the way that the music is really straightforward in Velvet Revolver, this is, I think, the most straightforward lyrically song, where it's just about being caught up in just society. We're all slaves to a big machine. And he's not saying it in, like, an over-dramatized way. He's just like, I got fucking a wife, I've got kids, I got money in the bank, I'm part of this whole fucking process. And I guess I'm a slave to it, but I guess I chose this, right? I'm the one who chose to do this. And I thought that was interesting because after Scott Weiland died, his wife, possibly ex-wife, I guess, posted a thing about how Scott Weiland was a very absentee father, had very little time to spend with his kids. And I guess it was just kind of a... It wasn't like to stick it to her fucking dead husband. It was more like if you know somebody who's from a broken home, or you know someone who doesn't have a mom or doesn't have a dad, you know, go out of your way to try to be a part of that kid's life and try to help out, because it happens all the time and nobody really talks about it, and it's just a thing that happens and that it sucks. And then also just reading about Scott Weiland, I mean, that's interesting too, just the way he... Did he get fired from Velvet Revolver or leave? I don't know. But then he went back to Stone Temple Pilots. And it's like Stone Temple Pilots without Scott Weiland is nothing. It is nothing. Like, they had another band with the guy from Filter, Army of Anyone it was called. Nobody cared. They had a band called Talk Soup with some random singer. Nobody cared. Stone Temple Pilots reformed with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. And I like Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, but nobody cared. Like, you need Scott Weiland, And yet they still fired him. Like, I guess just because he was a drug addict and he was hard to deal with. But that seems crazy on like two different levels. One is just how corporate it is when you have a big band. It really is kind of out of your hands. Like, it's not a band anymore. It's not a unit. It's not just a bunch of guys getting together to play songs. It's a corporate enterprise, and if one piece isn't working, the managers and the money men in combination, I'm sure, with the band are just like, this profit-making enterprise is not working anymore. So our concern is not with Scott Weiland and is not with helping him get better. It is with Stone Temple Pilots being a commercially successful venture, and he's not fitting in this equation, so he needs to leave. It's like, ugh, no wonder every band just gets popular and then they turn into shit. Like, the weirdest example of that I can think of is after Megadeth started getting really popular in the early 90s, Dave Mustaine said there were like whole Megadeth albums that he barely wrote. It just became a money enterprise. And it's like, really? Megadeth? The weird, scrappy, fucking crazy-ass thrash metal band that came out of his just insane anger at being fired from fucking Metallica? And like, Megadeth is such a idiosyncratic, weird band. Just the way Dave Mustaine sings alone is just weird. The idea that that would just become a songwriter thing. That happened to Korn for a while too. Korn had a couple albums in there that were like big songwriter. Other people wrote the songs and they're just dog shit. Wasn't until they got their old guitarist back and started actually writing songs together again and like giving a fuck that then their last album was really good. So that's a weird thing, but also just the idea of like Scott Weiland singing about just being trapped in owning fucking property and owning cars and having kids and just paying the taxes or whatever, just doing all this stuff. And reading through his Wikipedia page of like, he was with this band, he was with that band, he was on a solo tour. And you just don't really get the sense that he's necessarily doing this stuff out of like an artistic desire to do it. It's just like, he's gotta pay bills. He's take whoever will take him. Not like it was that desperate. I mean, he was still one of the most famous, awesome singers of the whole generation. But that's the point. Even if you hit this level that he hit, where you did it, you know, you're a famous ass rock star. But even just beyond drug problems, it's like that guy from the Ramones said, being in a band is the best job in the world, but it's still a job and it fucking sucks. Like, you're still beholden to the world, to the machine, to the system. And it's like, dude, there is no escape. What a downer. So anyway, that's a lot of pre-rambling. So let's listen to Big Machine by Velvet Revolver.
Machine. It's a big machine. Slaves to a big machine. I'm tied up to a big machine.
So I had a pretty fucking long stretch of not having a normal job. The whole time I was in Toronto, I didn't. And it was a long time. So when I came back to Vancouver and I got this fucking coffee shop job, I was real apprehensive about it at first. Because I'm just like, dude, I haven't done this in so long. What the fuck? And there's things I like about that job more than like a real job, quote unquote. Like, I would not want to just sit in an office or sit at a cubicle or sit at a desk. Like, I had an offer to get a call center job and I was like, I can't do that. That's no way. So I like that better, at least just now that I've gotten way more into exercise and physical activity and stuff lately. Just the fact that this job, it's a real big coffee shop. It's almost more of like a little, I don't know, there's like a lunch counter and a coffee counter, a lot of running around, a lot of doing stuff, a lot of moving all day. Which to the fucking fat, lazy, jerk-off American type people sure sounds terrible. Like, oh, well, you gotta move all day? You gotta be on your feet and do stuff? But I think that's much, much better. And the people that work there are really cool. But ultimately, like it was just too much. I got hired at a time when they were just really low on staff and I had to work like crazy and it was just wrecking me. Like, I'm finishing up this first book that I'm almost done. And I've had this episode of XO that's just been half finished for ages. Like, it just wrecked my ability to do creative work. And for what, you know, like for a little bit of money? Blah. It was nice to be able to get to know some people in Vancouver and just to have a little bit of structure in my life, but it was way too much. Like, I would really just think about quitting all the time. I was like, this is fucking awful. This is so miserable. And a lot of the people that work there, they work there because it's a very flexible job for hours and stuff. A lot of them are students, but they also have to have a job because of this crushing fucking debt that they're under. Which, that was interesting. The other day I tried to apply for a credit card. And even though I'm in my 30s, I'm a grown man, and I have a job and everything, I'm all stable and secure. Well, for me, relatively. But they wouldn't give me one because I don't have any credit history. I did have power bills that I paid for years in Toronto. I heard maybe that would count. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. The weird thing, though, is that they said if I was a student, there is no check. They would just give me a credit card automatically. And that is so fucked up and so backwards and so weird. Where it's like, hey, if you're a young, dumb kid who's wasting a ton of money at school to go learn how to work for other people and have your dreams crushed, get into some nice debt. Here's a credit card. Get into even more debt. Get into the system, man. Get crushed by this big machine. Do it. Just get crushed. Whereas the fact that I've stayed out of all that and just kind of off the circuit, I get punished for it. It's like, dude, look at you. You didn't get a credit card and run up a bunch of debt. So, like, you have no credit history, so now you're just out. You're just out. Sorry, buddy. No space for you in the world, in society. And I'm like, all right, well, fine. I'll be fine. I've been fine so far. But it's just creepy and it's weird and it's just the whole thing. It's like, what? Even I guess that mindset of like, that job drove me so mental because I was always wanting to do my actual work, you know, the actual stuff that might get me somewhere someday and might get me out of this little fucking horrible trap where other people didn't see it that way. Like, either school was their supposed way out or it was just the coffee shop job. That's it. You go do the coffee shop job and then you go home and you watch Netflix and that's it. You don't have to worry about anything else. You're doing your bit. You got your job. Everything's fine. And no matter how far up that scale you go, like, no matter how rich you get and how successful you get, I mean, eventually you're Scott Weiland, right? You're the most rich and most successful and most famous you could be, and it's still just a grind and it's still this job that you're trapped in. And yeah, it's just so weird and miserable and horrible, and there seems like no end to it, and it's just, ugh. So that made me think of this old NoFX song called Lower. It was like a B-side for the Pump Up the Valium album. And it's awesome. It's like just about not doing that, not taking part in that. Like, what is the point? This fucking killer instinct, fucking rising up the ladder. What the fuck is this? Like, how much money do you actually need? What does this pseudo supposed success actually mean? Is this actually gonna make anybody happy? Is this actually a cool way to be? And Fat Mike from NoFX, he's an awesome example of how to not be that way. I mean, he's very successful. He's been a musician his whole adult life. In punk circles, everybody knows NoFX. Most everyone likes NoFX. He owns almost all the rights to his own music. He has his own record label. They put out stuff. They tour. They do very short tours, like once in a while. Every once in a while, they do a quick little tour, six-week tour, you know, a couple times a year or something like that. And it's enough, because it's like, how much do you need? Why does it always have to get bigger and bigger and bigger? Once you hit a point where you're just happy, you know, just fucking stop there. That's enough. And don't kill or be killed. Like, bring your friends with you. Like, be cool. So yeah, it's a real good song. So here's Lower by NoFX. I also think it's interesting just how much people struggle to stay in the spider web, you know? And like, I guess it's like almost, I mean, it's sad in a way because obviously our basic actual nature, if we still lived in the fucking wilderness and stuff, is communal, is to be part of the community, is to do your part for your group or your tribe. And I think people like misinterpret that now, or they don't know how else to do that except get a dumb job somewhere and fucking sit at a desk or work at some shitty place. And you need a certain amount of money, but it really does turn into that weird, recursive, horrible, you need more money to buy more shit, and you're buying more shit because you just have this fucking existential sense of not knowing what the hell is going on and just adrift, so you just buy more shit to hopefully feel better and feel more connected somehow. Like, I don't know, I always think of this one girl at this coffee shop I work at where I was talking about how, like, yeah, I can move whenever, I'm all set, all my shit fits in a book bag and I could go overseas, I can go wherever. And she was like, it must be nice to be like that. Like, I have some superpower. Like, all I did was get rid of my shit. But, like, to her, even her DVDs. Did I say this last episode? I might have. But She's like, I don't want to get rid of my DVDs. Those cost me a lot of money back in the day. But I mean, DVDs are trash, you know? They're not high def. Like, just if you fucking watch something on Netflix, it looks better than a DVD. There's no reason at all. Like, no reason. NoFX even has an album called Coaster. Because it was, you know, right at the end of CDs. And they're like, what is this? This fucking piece of junk. This plastic fucking coaster. Like, this is just going in a landfill. This means nothing. This is worthless. But if you can't get rid of your worthless plastic, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, dude. You know? You have walked into the spider web and now you're all snuggled up in it and you're just pulling it closer to you like it's a warm blanket. It's like, ah, I just love it. I want to be trapped forever. So that made me think of this Metric song. When Metric first got big in Canada, their first couple albums, that was the period where I didn't even have a computer. In the mid-2000s. So I ended up just going to some weird internet cafe with like Morpheus or Kazaa or one of those old school file sharing programs and just trying to grab all of the MP3s of the Metric albums. And again, it's like I couldn't even buy them. Like, if I bought a CD, I didn't have a CD player. Didn't have a computer, can't do fucking iTunes and that shit. So anyway, I just swiped the MP3s. And I didn't do a good job, so I missed a few songs. And this was one of the songs that I missed. This song called Handshake. And it's awesome. It's like the second half of the song, really the only lyrics are, buy this car to go to work to pay for this car. And it is that simple, you know? People get all wrapped up and all worked up about, oh, my dumb life and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Maybe if you have a kid or something, but even that, man, it's not as, it doesn't have to be as expensive as people make it. When I was like the live-in caretaker guy for my niece, it was like 8 months. And it wasn't that brutal. Whereas like people that I know that have kids, like just the amount of fucking toys and horse shit they buy these kids, these little kids that are like 2 and 3 years old, they don't need 8,000 pieces of Lego and all this fucking shit. They don't care. They would rather you just spend some time with them. So yeah, Handshake by Metric, awesome. Buy this car to go to work. Go to work to pay for this car. Say you want to get in and you're gonna get out. But you won't, 'cause it's a trap. Say you wanna get in, and then you wanna get out. When you get the money to buy yourself a car. All right, and one more song to finish this off. This is jumping tracks a little bit to sort of a grander thing, but this whole fucking society, this North American society, this weird disconnected bullshit where everyone is just struggling and struggling to fucking nothing so they can all end up in a weird old folks home and no one will give a fuck. It's clearly a product of America, you know? And Canada's in a weird position because we're very similar to America from a distance, you know, we fucking look the same. But as a citizen of Canada, spent, you know, a year and a half or so in the States, oh my God, like, it's weird because Canada, pretty much across the board, I think is just a far better country. It's way more relaxed, way less fucking crazy, way less American. And I don't know how it stacks up to other countries in the world, but like, it's like our job as the less economically robust, less populated satellite country. It's like our job in history almost is just to be like, America's so big that it has its whole own other country called Canada, whose whole purpose is kind of just to chronicle and observe America. So we have a hell of a clear view of America. I think far clearer than people who live inside America, because from what I could tell, they don't know anything. They don't know shit, because they're just in it. They're just fucking in it, and it's all around them, and it's always been all around them. And that pressure and that weird sense of what life is supposed to be is just always how they've lived, and they don't see any other way. Where in Canada, where everything is relatively okay, which can partially be attributed to the fucking economic might of America. So it's all mixed up and messy, but, I mean, literally every day of my life, I've seen a news story about something fucking crazy and shitty happening in America. If I didn't, it's only because I just was lucky enough not to see a fucking headline that day. Every day, and I just have really hit the point now where I just can't take it anymore. I just can't. Every restaurant has fucking TVs, and they're always set to the news channel, and it's always some horrible shit. And it's just been happening my whole life, and what finally really just pushed me over the edge was Facebook. I've been using Facebook a lot more lately, just to keep in touch with people that I know in Vancouver. And there's the news thing on the side, and it's the craziest fucking shit. It's always something awful that happened, some horrible death, some shooting, some terrible thing, mixed with just the most inane celebrity news. And it really is like we're living in a parody. We're inside, like, Idiocracy. We're in the dark satire version of North America, but it's really fucking here. Jared the Subway guy's a pedophile. Bill Cosby's a rapist. How is this real? You know? How is this fucking real? How is this not a horrible joke of a society? School shootings happen every month and no one cares. It's so fucking insane and so awful. Like, it just couldn't be more clear to me that, I mean, I don't know, America, like, was, like, bullish and could just push its way past its bullshit for a while just because it was so successful and so rich. And that's just not enough anymore. It's just not working. Because, you know, as I get older, I'm just really realizing more and more that this fucking supposed wealth, this idea of what's valuable and what wealth is just garbage. It's not worth anything. And the price to pay for it is a fucking psycho society that is just shit. It's just trash. And I think what really, too, kind of just pushed me over the border, it should be a good thing, but the fact that it ever had to get to this is, in his, you know, remaining last days in office, Obama is trying to push through all this stuff, this, like, kind of legislation. I don't know the details about how the whole American political system works, but he's trying to push through as many changes to their gun policies as he can, with, like, the power that he has that can't be, you know, just immediately shut down and contested by Congress, because Because nothing ever changes, no matter how many fucking people get killed and how many kids shoot up places and how much crazy shit happens. How many cops kill black people? That's happening like every month. There's a story like that. And it just never stops. And it's like, what the fuck is going on, you know? Partially, I guess it's just that because we're more connected than ever. If you have 300 million people in America, every time anything bad happens, like it zeroes in on it. But still, like how many unarmed fucking black kids have to get shot? That should happen like once, and it should be crazy. Shouldn't happen every few weeks. It's so fucking mental. And I'm just like not exaggerating, you know? Maybe there's not a school shooting or a black kid that gets shot by the cops literally every month, but almost. And that is so fucking psycho. And then on the other side of the coin, like the actual values of what people think is important is just this like vapid celebrity nonsense. And then these celebrities just end up being awful, awful people. It's the shittest fucking society. It is shit. It doesn't matter if you've got iPhones and computers and fancy fucking cars. It's garbage. Like, of what's actually important, they have nothing. And what's not important, they have tons of that. It's fucking awful. I fucking hate it. So yeah, this Obama thing, it's nice that he's trying to push some kind of gun reform as much as he can. But the article I read about it was like, yeah, and I mean, he's done it in such a way that it can't be immediately just discarded and destroyed by some congressional vote. But of course it will be. It's just a matter of time. Fucking gun lobbyists and blah, blah, blah. Dumbass Second Amendment, stupid fucking American jerk-offs. Like, if you use a gun at all, I don't care what it's for. I don't care if it's just to go to a fucking shooting range and shoot targets. You're fucking psycho. You're fucking crazy. You don't need that. That's fucking crazy psycho shit, and you need to fucking stop. The end, asshole. I mean, America's so fucking stupid, they can't even get rid of dollar bills, you know? Like, that's a fight. Everything's a fight, and just makes nothing happen, and nothing change, and nothing be good. I hate America more now than when I lived there, and I hated it then. It's fucking trash. I fucking hate that country. I'm just so, like, I think part of it is just moving out west again, where it's kind of hippie-ish out here, and the mountains, and everyone's into health stuff. And I've been trying to eat healthy, and I've been exercising more, and last year I started learning about meditation a bit and stuff. And it's just made that feeling that I've always had, that America is just like this horrible static in the periphery of my consciousness. There's always this horrible noise, this horrible bad feeling of awful shit that's just always fucking there, is more clear than ever. And it's just more clear that it's not me, it's them. So I found this nice little extension somebody made for Firefox to make the news thing, the little news ticker, go away on Facebook, because there's no way within Facebook to make it go away. Like, you can't escape. They don't want you to escape. It's the same as this job shit. It's like Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks talked about this back in the 90s. I'll find that clip and I'll put it in about how the news is just there to scare the shit out of you and to make you think everything's awful, and just so you won't stand up and you won't say your piece, and you'll just try to stay down and be meek because, oh, the world's crazy. The world's crazy and violent and scary, and you should just be glad that you got a job, and you should shut the fuck up and just do your dumb job. Ugh. It's awful. Fuck it all, man. Fuck it all. So I'll play that little Bill Hicks clip, and then I'm going to finish with this song by Alexis on Fire. Dearly departed but much beloved Canadian band. And I think it's my favorite Fuck America song ever. It's called Sons of Privilege. And the way the guy sings, it might be a little tough to make out some of the fucking lyrics. They're awesome, though. But you can make out the fucking part at the end. It's time to justify your pride in America. Because that's the other joke. Not only is America, depending on the metric you're using, possibly the worst fucking country there is. I mean, it's like, you got North Korea, super crazy. China, human rights violations, fucking all crazy, fucked up. America, maybe not as bad as that. Okay, so that's what we're comparing you to now? We're comparing you to the worst just to make you seem okay? But amongst its actual contemporaries, America is the worst, the fucking worst, and they're the only ones that rah, rah, rah about how proud they are of their stupid fucking garbage shitball country. Fucking bullshit. It's time to justify your pride, you redneck fucking shithead, crazy business-minded money running after pieces of shit, you pieces of shit. Fuck you. So here's Sons of Privilege by Alexis on Fire.
So there you go. You know my problem? I watch too much news, man. That's my problem. That's why I'm so depressed all the time. I figured it out. I watch too much CNN, man. I don't know if you've ever sat around and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I don't recommend that. Watch CNN headline news for 1 hour. It's the most depressing thing you'll ever fucking do. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless, recession, depression. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless. Then you look out your window. Where's all this shit happening? Ted Turner's making this shit up, man. Jane Fonda won't sleep with him. He runs to a typewriter.
By 1992, we will all die of AIDS. Read that on the air. I don't get laid. No one gets laid.
I'm writing, Jane Fonda. Will you fuck this guy so we can get some good news, please? I want to see a well-laid Ted Turner newscast. Hey, it's all going to work out. Here's sports.
Hey, it's a few days later. That's too loud. Turn down. Hey, it's a few days later. Nice rainy day. Decided I'd record a quick little end bumper piece. Got awful worked up there. Awful worked up about being worn out by the American news cycle and such. I don't like getting all worked up like that. I don't like getting all mad. I don't usually anymore, but I did. So I don't know, that's a thing. But I was also thinking about just being exasperated about gun laws and American guns and shooty, shooty, bang, bang, everyone dies. I was thinking how my friend Matt does like to go hunting. He went hunting when he was a kid. A lot of fucking woods and trees back where I come from on the East Coast of Canada. When he goes home, he goes hunting. You know, I guess. He's obviously not a bad guy. I guess maybe, you know, it's a little strong to just be like, fuck everyone who likes guns for any reason, fuck them all. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't know, again, it's like, it's a double standard, I guess, but Canada's got its shit together and has its head on straight, relatively speaking. I feel like with Americans, like, you just can't give them an inch. Like, if you say, like, yeah, this and that is wrong with America, but this other thing is okay, they just latch onto that one thing. They're just like, yeah, see? Sure, our fucking society is fucking crazy and we're all insane. But, hey, we invented fucking iPads or whatever, you know? I don't know, I feel like a certain severity of opinion is not necessarily the worst thing. I mean, it's just how I fucking get myself all worked up to anyway, but yeah, I don't know, it's like there needs to be like a wake-up call with America where it's like, yeah, okay, sure. You did that, and you did this, and you did some stuff that's kind of okay and whatever, but we cannot focus on that anymore. It's not important. What's important are the problems. We need to focus on the problems, and you need to turn things around and be different and not have wiggle room and not have an out and not have fall back fucking pro-America rah-rah bullshit to fall back on. You just need to fucking quit it with your dumb shit. No more benefit of the doubt, I guess, is a good way to put it. Shape up or fuck off. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is when I was rambling about Guns N' Roses at the beginning, I forgot the one little anecdote I actually meant to tell. It's the very first thing in this Guns N' Roses biography, and I thought it was so awesome. So it was Axl Rose and Izzy Stradlin the first time they were in New York when they were in their teens. And they got let off at some expressway where, like, you're not supposed to be walking and tons of heavy traffic, and they crawled their way out of it and ended up in this weird neighborhood in, like, the Bronx, I think. And it was like, you know, they were the only white dudes there, and it was just extremely obvious that they didn't belong there. And as the story goes, this old black guy came over to them and was like, "Do you know where you are? You're in the jungle. You're gonna die." And I thought that was so fucking awesome. So let's just finish off with that. Famous ass Guns N' Roses song, "Welcome to the Jungle." And it was interesting to learn that song is actually about New York because, you know, the music video, what always stick in my head, just the scene at the start where young Axel is fucking just on the street and he's like looking at a bunch of TVs in the window of a store showing a bunch of crazy news shit. And that sort of vision of Los Angeles that's in that video is always what was in my mind about what I expected a big city to be like. Welcome to the jungle, you know? And then I moved to Vancouver. It's not like that at all. Toronto, not like that at all. But New York, yeah, it is. It's kind of like that. And it turns out it was about New York the whole time. And yeah, it's weird. Like, the more I learn about tribal societies and just the way things used to be for human society, it actually seemed kind of more civilized, and people looked after each other more and cared for the community that they were in more. Where this world we're in now, in North America particularly, it looks modern. We got big fancy TVs and wireless fucking internet and all this technological shit, but it is, like, it's just never been more fucking uncivilized. Like, people don't care about each other, and they don't care about family units and communities, and they don't care about you if you're old, they don't care about you if you're schizophrenic, they just don't care about you. They just want you to get slotted into the big machine and do some shitty fucking job and pull your stupid lever and do your dumb little part. It's more like an anthill than ever. And it seems a lot less connected and communal. Male role models are just non-existent. Adulthood rights are just gone. Do you know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby. You're gonna die and no one's gonna care. So here's Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. Oh,